Blog Talk Radio.
Right on the button.
This is All About Wine, a talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do in this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
No, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
All right. Thank you, bus people.
Yeah.
Beautiful day out there, enjoying some nice wine. Just, you know, can't ask for more. Summer in Florida in the afternoon rain. It's hurricane season now, though. We are in hurricane season. In fact, we've already had one, a named storm out in the Gulf.
Yeah.
So it's on us already. But
we got some rain out of it, but other than that, that was all it was. Just a rain.
It was. Enough wind to give it a name. You know, that's the key to it. They expect a pretty light season this year too for hurricanes. So we hope so. We always hope so. Yeah. So we are 7:02 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on June 8th, 2023. If you're listening to us now, we are live. If you're listening to us in archives, thank you. I think more people listen to us in archives than live, but that's all right. We are happy that you listen to us and however you do. We are also on other formats, too. I'll let Mike tell you. What other formats are we on?
We are on social media. You can check us out on our Twitter page at, I think it's All About, anyway, if you're seeing the notice on Twitter, just stay on that page and you can listen to it there. Same thing with Facebook. You can check out the All About Wine Facebook page, and we're live on there as well as on YouTube. The YouTube link is way too long. I'm not going to say it now. It takes forever. And, there's obviously Blog Talk Radio, and I don't see.
Are we on Spotify?
Oh, yeah, and, no, we're not on Spotify. Not that I know of. I haven't really searched there. Who was just joining us in the chat? Joseph. Okay. Just saw Joseph pop into chat and pop right back out of it. We had somebody do that last week, and was it last week or week before last? They pop in like 5 minutes before the end of the show. I get a little leery about, some of these that pop into chat, but didn't say anything. And just want to hang out. That's fine. That's a perfect place to post a question or a comment regarding the show. If you get in the Blog Talk Radio chat channel that's on the show, I'll see it here and we'll, definitely buzz in there. Also on Mixcloud and on the Flightline Radio, flightlineradio.com. So check it out. It's quite a bit of places that we're live.
And we're in, and we're on also other formats too, of which we are not aware. I hear people say that they listen to us on other formats, and I have no idea we were on them. That's why I was thinking Spotify. I think it's already mentioned that, but it's not something that
iTunes,
we.
iTunes. Not live. Yeah, I have to check. I'll look and see if there's anything on. I don't know Spotify, but it is still on iTunes. And God, there was one that surprised me last week, or week before last, or meantime. I thought, wow, I didn't realize every single show was on this I don't know what I was on, but I was on something, and I saw a little icon on there, and I go, uh-oh. And every single thing, kind of like iTunes, I has every single one of them, but this one was a shock. I got to find out where that was.
We're on a lot of different ones. That surprises me, too. I just, when I'm out looking at stuff, and I go, oh, there we are. And we appreciate all these places picking us up, or whoever's putting us on those. Thank you. The thing is, we look at our numbers, and we have pretty decent numbers, number of people who listen to the show, and, you know, we thank all of you for doing it, but we don't get a true count because of all these other formats don't feed it back into Gradio in our number page. So it throws off our numbers. Every once in a while, guests will inquire about being on. They say, how many people listen? And I always respond, I have no idea, because there's so many other formats that we are out there on and pop up on. So, and Flightline Radio. We have to talk about that for a second. Flightline Radio is Mike's venture. It is flightlineradio.com, and you can listen to it. It's streaming all the time, 24/7. But then Mike needs something.
I'm looking at all the.
Is it tilted or something? Okay, Mike, you're going to have to talk for a minute. My wife just had surgery Tuesday, mm-hmm. and I need to go take care of something real fast here that she can't. So talk about your Flightline Radio. Tell them when you're on and all that stuff. I'll be right back.
All right. Like you said, it's flightlineradio.com. There's music 24/7, except on Thursdays when we do All About Wine live there. There is a schedule, so there's different genre playing at different hours. Mostly it's like 70s in the morning, 80s after that. There's classic rock. There's a country spot for like 2 hours, and then it's just a mix-up after in between all that. So then I'm on Friday evenings from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time. And I just found another place that has our the show on archives. Unbelievable. Never even heard of this site. Let's see. How many shows do they have? They look like they're fairly current. Yeah.
Okay, I'm back.
Another place that's showing or listing the show. I've never heard of them. So,
what's that?
It's listennotes.com.
Huh.
I have no idea. But there's last week before that. I don't know how many episodes there are, but a load more. It's really interesting to load up some of the pages, and they go all the way back to, you know, several years worth. It's like, how long have they been, you know, posting here? So
that's cool. Yeah, that's I noticed that too. You start looking at stuff, and it goes back, you know, 4 or 5 years on some of them, and you're going, wow, you know, this is, have they been doing it that long, or are they just loaded up, or not? You never know.
Don't know. So, but it's out there. I just did a search for on Google for All About Wine podcast, and it was Apple's up there, Blog Talk Radio, of course, and then our website, and then I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff here. Wait a minute, what's About Wine? What? Oh my gosh, we're on. How did we get on? What magazine? Wine Enthusiast magazine.
Oh really? Well, Wine Enthusiast named this as one of the
that
top wine podcast a couple of years ago. So,
oh my gosh, wow. This is Wine Enthusiast. There's no date on this, but it says podcast for every wine lover from beginners to experts. And it says the wine and culture issue and all about wine is at top, probably because it's probably in alphabetical order, all about wine. But it says all about wine is perfect for fans of old school radio shows like Car Talk. Oh, thank you. This week's call-in show is by Ron Hunt, a winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert who occasionally invites industry guests on the show. Topics can vary throughout the hour, but Hunt typically covers the gamut of current industry news, and there's a link to the website. Wow. I didn't know they were doing that. And they list Decanted. They list the Grape Nation, Guild Somm, Real Wine People, the stories behind wine, Wine for Normal People, and Wine Enthusiast, which I guess is theirs. But, wow, isn't that something?
That is cool. Oh, all right. Thank you, yeah. Wine Enthusiast.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I didn't know we were on there. I saw the link, and I go, wait a minute. Who else? Oh, there's Podtail. We're listed on there. Listen Notes, which I already said. I mean, there's just like the first few that what's this on here? Hang on. There might be another. So I'm trying to find if we're on here. Wine Blast. No, I guess not.
I think also.
I'm
not sure, but you know, the cigar guys that were on and Cap, Kaplowitz, and the other cigar guys, and their blogs. I think some of them carry a link to us there too. So that's another way that we're out there. So, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I never really thought about it, but boy, it gives us a lot of exposure out there that we are not aware of, and because of that, a lot of people can listen to the show and other things, and we never really know how many is listening to it. So thanks everyone out there who's listening to it. Thanks all the formats that are picking us up and putting us out there. We do appreciate that greatly. Not that it means anything to us as far as monies or anything like that. It's just really super cool that we're in all those areas and all those different things. That's really cool.
On the chat, I don't know if he's actually listening, but Ron Reck is in the chat room. So Ron, if you're actually listening, you can say hi or ask a question of the other Ron, the show host. So I guess we need to get on with the program. That's almost 15 minutes we spent.
it's informative. We're letting people know where they can find us. So
that's true.
Somebody might not be able to, get a hold of us somehow or something. And so that way they can find us in all sorts of different formats. Oh, very good. Thank you. I listened to, and I'm not going to get into it real deep. Let me tell you about that. I listened to a show the other day online. I lucked upon it, actually, and it was on Eventbrite. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Eventbrite post events. They carry different events and all that for discussions and things you can tune in on. I'd never heard of Eventbrite, and I got ready to sign into it, and engineer's site came up, her email and all that, and I went and I said, "What's your email? What's your password for Eventbrite?" And she goes, "Eventbrite, what you doing?" And she was well aware of it, and I never was. But I listened to a podcast that was on Eventbrite that was the title of it. I can't think of the title of it right now. But it was about American wine or American grapes. and the evolution of American grapes and what's being done with American grapes and how they're being used now in the hybrids on an extremely interesting podcast. I enjoyed so much of it. And I'm sitting there scribbling notes. I feel like Mike. I'm sitting there scribbling notes all the time and trying to get as much information as I can now. It was Clark Smith and J. Stephen Caskles, I believe it's pronounced, were the two that was talking most of the time. Also, Jerry was the host. I didn't get his last name. But these guys, Stephen Caskles has a winery in Missouri, and he's got a whole bunch of different American grapes planted, and ones that he's been experimenting with and all that. And they talked about what's going on with American grapes, where they're being grown, how they came about, all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's just really an interesting podcast. And like I said, I'm sitting there scribbling notes down and all that and trying to get as much written down as I can to remember. And I'm going to try to get a hold of these guys, see if I can't get one or the other or both of them on the show at one time or another. But at the end of the show, they said, once we edit this, we will send it out to all the people who listen to it today. And you can have it on, they're going to do text of it, and they're also going to give a copy of the podcast itself. And I thought, oh boy, after all this scribbling notes and everything, I'll have it. And after they edit it. And so we'll be able to post it on the All About Wine site, I'm sure. I don't think there's going to be restrictions. I'll have to contact them to be sure that there's no restrictions. But I doubt seriously that they'll put restrictions on it. But the show was just really, really informative. They talked about a book called Foundation of American Grape Culture by a T.V. Munson, who is really well-known in American grapes. In fact, there's Munson grape is a big section of the country, the Munson grapes growing, as is Swinson hybrids and Cornell University hybrids from all over the place. So sections of those, but a phenomenal, phenomenal, informative, and educational episode. So when that comes up and I get that, I will get that posted on the All About Wine site. And I do highly recommend taking the time to watch through it. It's so, so interesting. And I will also try to get a hold of these guys once I get that information and all that, because they'll probably give a link to these guys. Once I get that information, I will try to get them on the show if I can do that, and we can talk about, again, what they were talking about on their podcast. So, interesting. I wanted to share that with you and tell you about that, and we'll hopefully you'll look forward to that. That should be something that I do highly recommend for you to check out. Found an article called Red Wine, Understanding How It Benefits Your Heart and Mind. And we have been back and forth on this. What is the good stuff and what is the bad stuff? And is red wine good for you? And is red wine bad for you? And I mean, it's just an ongoing thing. Well, this article basically says, yes, it's good for you. It's from Lifestyle Magazine. I don't know. Longevity.technology in Lifestyle. And it's under the nutrition heading. All sorts of stuff on this Lifestyle. Just a lot of interesting articles. This is the only one on wine that I found. But in general, it says red wine contains high antioxidant content that is beneficial for the body. especially for the heart and mind. The antioxidants of red wine come from dark grapes, which are rich in resveratrol, epicatechin, and proanthocyanidins. And yes, I probably destroyed those words. So, it says, drinking red wine, is it good for you? Yes, it says. It is beneficial because of the resveratrol. And this is extremely helpful for people suffering from type 2 diabetes and heart disease. So, there you go. Now, alcohol turns to sugar in your body. Red wines usually have a higher alcohol content, and they didn't really address that aspect of it, but it says that one of the studies about resveratrol is its properties in lowering the body's blood sugar for up to 24 hours. The alcohol is not addressed in it, but I have done a personal experiment a few years ago. Oh, geez, quite a few years ago now. This is 23. I did this back in almost 10 years ago, but I took a bottle of red wine and I did my blood sugar. I am type 2 diabetic. I did my blood sugar before I started. I had a glass of red wine. I waited an hour, did my blood sugar, had another glass of red wine, waited an hour and did my blood sugar. And surprisingly, and I expected it to start peaking, but surprisingly, it stayed pretty stable. It didn't jump up. And then after going through, well, I hate to admit it, but the whole bottle, after going through the whole bottle, that evening I did my blood sugar. This was about 3 hours after I finished it. And it went up about, no, close to 20 points, which still was reasonable within range. It wasn't spiking or anything. It was still like 150 at that time, which, you know, is not bad. If you're not diabetic, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you are, then you can understand. But it peaked around 150. Usually it stayed around 110, 115, stuff like that. So it didn't raise it a lot. So this is one thing about, you know, the alcohol turning into sugar. This article says resveratrol's benefit in blood sugar regulation may definitely help people who have high blood pressure. Further research has shown that the properties that control the cholesterol levels and systolic blood pressure of a person taking 250 milligrams of resveratrol supplements a day, equal to that. Okay, so you don't have to take this on. It continues saying, after 3 months of research, scientists found that the study participants were able to have lowered glucose levels in their blood more so than those who did not take resveratrol supplements. So it works. The American Diabetes Association says that it is a good way to control and regulate blood sugar. If you are on glucose, glucose shots, it is not an equivalent of doing that. So don't substitute it. Check with your healthcare professionals, as they say, and be sure that it is okay. But drinking red wine is not an alternative for blood sugar treatment plans. 1 to 2 glasses of red wine may actually be added to the diet and be good for you. Cardioprotective. Cardiovascular disease is considered a major disease of death in most countries. And it's the leading death here in the United States and second highest in Canada. So the Canadian researchers explored the benefits of red wine, and they found that heart failure is medically treated through various traditional pharmacotherapies, and these have shown that red wine is one of those ways that can actually help. The natural compounds in red wine, the antioxidants, and resveratrol can help lower incidence of heart attacks. Canadian study. And the scientific evidence for reserve withdrawal has been going on over again. It's the problem with the studies with reserve withdrawal. I'm pronouncing that wrong. Resveratrol. Studies with resveratrol is that there has never been a big sample long-term study. Most of them have been the small sampling size, and the dosing has not been consistent. So no conclusion, no bottom line. What is the scientific evidence for resveratrol? Nothing that can really say, yes, it's great for you, or no, it's not great for you. Cholesterol, again, red wine. A glass of red wine has been found helpful to decreasing bad cholesterol. And the Tempranillo red grapes that are used in producing certain varieties of red wine can lower low-density lipoprotein, which is the LDL cholesterol, and it can regulate and raise the HDL, which is a good cholesterol. So red wine and resveratrol can help with your cholesterol, according to this article. The question, should you drink red wine to improve heart health? Yeah, it's not going to hurt you. Red wine's polyphenols is what health professionals consider heart healthy. Polyphenols are a kind of antioxidant that can aid in preventing blood clotting by helping blood vessels become more flexible, which is a good thing. You know, if you've ever seen the little pictures, and I'm sure everybody has, of how the vessels get clogged up and are hardened and stuff, there is resveratrol can help that, can cause more flexible blood vessels. Mental health. Well, yeah, if I have red wine, I'm happy. Well, okay, but that's not the point. Red wine's resveratrol is found beneficial in keeping the memory sharp and lowering the risk of dementia. This pertains to a group of brain conditions affecting memory function that is really more affected in the elderly. So that's a good thing. Researchers and studies have proven that red wine consumption is helpful in reducing the risk factors of dementia, those developing Alzheimer's disease. So really good there. That's something that if you can start, you know, that could improve the risk of Alzheimer's. Can Alzheimer's patients drink red wine? Yeah. You know, it just, if you've ever been around someone with Alzheimer's, it's a horrible disease, the dementia and forgetting stuff and all that. But they have done studies. And again, most of these studies are not big studies. These are not studies where it involved a lot of people. But it's enough that they're coming to conclusions. And for example, data have indicated that moderate intake of red wine may prevent several age-related pathological conditions, such as cancer, cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, and DAT-related cognitive decline. So, yay for red wine. I mean, the article goes on here and tells that resveratrol does not prevent AB production because it has no apparent effect on the AB-producing enzymes. However, it promotes intercellular degradation of AB via mechanism instead of which involves the protosomy, I guess. So, red wine is, it helps the brain, and bottom line, you know, it helps the brain. And we're talking moderation in all this, folks. We're not talking a study like I did where I did a self-study of drinking a whole bottle in one day. This is moderation. Two glasses a day maximum. That's all that it takes. Any more than that does not make it better. Two glasses a day is really what is the line that you draw for the improvement and all that. How about red wine good for depression? Yeah, I think so. If you get depressed, red wine tends to help. It helps depression, according to this article. In research conducted among middle-aged to elderly individuals, the researchers discovered that drinking moderate to low amounts of alcohol every day can result in fewer symptoms and a reduced risk of depression compared to people who drink excessively. Now, there's the key. Don't be drinking excessively. For that reason, people who have a few regular sips and a glass of red wine have a low tendency to experience depression than those who don't. And then all of it, there's links to all of these. I mean, they give, you know, links to all the studies and all these on this. Bottom line, after we hear a study that says, no, it's no good for you, and then another study says, yes, it's good for you, another one says, no, this article basically tells you, yes, it's going to be good for you. It's going to help your depression. It's going to help diabetes. It's going to help dementia. It's going to help possibly to prevent other diseases, including cancer. So there you go. A yay for red wine. Good for you until I read you the next article that I find that says it's not good for you and you shouldn't be taking it. Okay. I haven't read this article. The Evolution of Chile's Icon Wine. It talks about Chilean wine. I started reading this article. Very interesting. Long. I'm not going to do it. I'm not finished with the article yet either. But really, so far, quite interesting about Chilean wine. I will read that and tell you about it in the weeks to come. Okay, what else do we have here? All right, let's go back to this and go back to this. Where are we? Okay, right here. A second. And underground cellars. I don't think we talked about underground cellars. We have talked about other things that do basically this. But I don't think so. Might you recall us talking to underground cellars?
I have to check. I don't. It doesn't sound familiar, but
it doesn't. No, you know, and I went back searching a little bit, and I didn't see it. But it's the same format as some of the others that we have. One other that we talked with, underground cellars, has
Jeffrey Shaw.
Underground cellars.
Yep, Jeffrey Shaw, founder of Underground Cellar, was on December 16th, 2021.
Okay, because I thought this was same format as that. Okay, Underground Cellars offers wines. You can go to the website and you can, well, here is the first paragraph. The deals on high-end wine offered online by California-based underground sellers often seem too good to be true. You buy an ordinary Cabernet for $25, and then you might be upgraded. They might just pick you and say, okay, you're upgraded, and we're going to, instead of whatever you bought for $25, we're going to upgrade you to a Screaming Eagle Cabernet, which is phenomenal because Screaming Eagles run close to $1,000, you know. So you get this, and then you stick it in their cellar, and you have that wine. And like Jeffrey explained, they cellar your wines, and then when you want it, you pay the shipping, and you can close it out anytime, close your storage out, and have them pay for the shipping to you and all that. Pretty good deal. I mean, the way he described it, it was very interesting, and it was quite exciting. I looked at the website quite a few times, and they had some great deals on there. And then that always that possibility of being upgraded to a phenomenal wine randomly is just exciting. Very exciting. Well, Underground Cellars on Monday filed for bankruptcy, Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and to reorganize, and Chapter 7 bankruptcy to end the business and liquidate its assets. Aha. So if any of you out there are patrons of Underground Cellars, they have filed for bankruptcy, and it is, this article says, as Underground Cellar customers will likely learn, the company's assets may include wines bought by customers that were never shipped to them. Says, as we learned in the Premier Crew case, just because you paid for it, they have it, doesn't mean you receive it. So, if you are a customer of Underground Cellars, says the decision to file for bankruptcy, and this is from the website statement, the decision to file for bankruptcy was not an easy one, but it became necessary due to recent market headwinds and an inability to secure follow-on financing or an acquisition in what has become an increasingly challenging capital market. The company has wound down its operations. Any decisions regarding the company's future will be made by a court-appointed trustee. Customers and creditors of Underground Cellar will receive a notice from the bankruptcy court with information about the bankruptcy case. Oh my gosh, that's sad. And if you're a customer, that's super sad. One customer had $2,000 worth of unshipped wine and has been ordering from the company for a year. And they were approached by a PR representative to try out the service with a $200 coupon for free wines. And at first, it wasn't sure, but then they did. And they didn't get the wine and decided to wait and see what's going on. And once the credit card went through, they thought it was a great deal and used the coupons and all that. And everything was held in the cellar. They spent several thousand dollars on wine and successfully have many bottles shipped to them, but frequently bought specials such as a case of $20 European Reds in which wines were not named at the time of purchase. And they would send you a fact sheet, and you pay $20 for them and the wine sells for $49, but you don't get to pick specific wines or regions. The deal is you don't choose it. It's what they choose. And that's how it went. And the word got out, basically. And that they were doing this, switching around and stuff like that. So one of the quirks of Underground Cellars was that it reserved the right to substitute wines for those you ordered. And they figured that was a hook behind the offer that you might buy a $28 cab and instead receive a Screaming Eagle or an Opus 1. As of when they filed for bankruptcy, this is still on their website. The upgrade is based on the price level, and so it was there. Man, they did. Underground client last week, underground client filed a class action suit in Delaware against the company, claiming that all 42 bottles of wine worth $3,114 stored with them, and they now do not have access to them. The last paragraph says, and I quote, it's reminiscent of Berkeley-based Premier Cru, which sold wine futures, and it turns out had apparently sold the same bottle of wine to multiple people. Premier Cru proprietor John Fox pled guilty to fraud charges in 2016 and served 4.5-year term in federal prison. When Premier Cru was dissolved, customers were frustrated to learn that not only would they not receive wines they had paid for, any customers who requested refunds in 90 days before bankruptcy was declared, 90 days before bankruptcy was declared, would have to give back the money to the bankruptcy trustee. So, this is not good. Underground sellers had raised $13.5 million in funding through 9 rounds of funding, starting with their seed round in 2014. Its last investor came from a single investor in March 2022. So that was only just a couple months ago. An email to underground sellers was not returned for this article. So let me click out of this and go to another article that I saw shortly after this about it also. And this is about underground sellers also. And it says, after the San Francisco-based underground sellers went bankrupt, there has been an uproar over how the company managed to swindle so many customers. This person who wrote this article said they were one of those who lost more than $1,000 in undelivered wine. He says, after I reported on the bankruptcy, I got a couple of calls out of the blue. The first was from the company's CEO, Jeff Shaw, stating, and that's who we talked to, stating that he was pushed out of business more than a year ago. He asked me to change my story and declined to comment further because of his non-disclosure agreement. Now, how could he have been pushed out of business more than a year ago? When we talked to him, when did you say that was, Mike?
That was 2019.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Oh, wait. No, 2021. Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay, 2021. So I guess maybe, you know, shortly after we talked to him, according to him, he was no longer part of the business. So, according to this article here, Jeff Shaw said that he was pushed out of the business more than a year ago, and this article is 2 weeks old, so. And so this is 23, so, you know, back in 22, he was pushed out of the business. Mm-hmm. It says, according to his feedback, including the fact that Jeff Shaw signed off on documents as CEO as late as April 24th this year, so.
Yeah, that would have worked out. We had December 2021. And they were out of it in 2022. Yeah, he could have been still with them.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, he was. But this is not a good thing. Not a good thing for other people. I feel bad for all the people. I feel bad for getting on the show and promoting it because it sounded like a great deal. Here's Let's see. It doesn't sound plausible. So here's responses to my sit down with Coppola. Who's Coppola? Coppola is a forensics accountant based in Philadelphia who said he lost thousands with the company. He decided to research what happened given that he was a forensics accountant and he was investigating the financial matters, including the bankruptcy. He says he had no further stake with the company and he was just an outsider like everyone else. He said that before he became a customer in May 2014. Boy, the company's been in business longer than I thought. I thought it was a startup. He became a customer in May 2014, purchased more than 500 bottles, and received around 360 to 380 of those bottles. The question was the business model innately flawed or was it just a scheme to launder money? And Coppola says, I don't think either of the statements are true. The most innocent explanation is that they had very expensive financing and a years-long goal of being acquired, which never materialized. Once the high interest rate and inflationary environment took hold early last year, the company might not have been sustainable and they could not balance their sheets. It says, less innocently, they may have then decided to extract as much value as possible in the 12 months before filing bankruptcy in order to avoid clawbacks by the trustees. So this is really odd how few assets the company was left with, such as only $260 of office equipment. And then it was asked, were the wines that people purchased really stored and put like they said they would? And it said, for the most part, yes. From the beginning, they struggled to fulfill orders. He said he had about 20% of his bottles swapped out and had a few dozen bottles marked as incoming for years. So do you think the underground sellers executives are using their customers' money for other purposes? He said it's hard to say. In the bankruptcy, it was not mentioned. Here's a question. Why do you think Jeff Shaw was being paid as both a board member and a consultant? And it says Jeff Shaw was paid as a board member through August 2022 and as a consultant through April 2023. He was paid as both from June to August 2022. It says Jeff's board member salaries was the same as the CEO's at the time, so it's unlikely that the other board members got nothing. But in response to his comments, a source which was unidentified says that Shaw was never paid as a board member and that no other board members were ever paid. So it wasn't money that you all put in there, if you're part of it, that paid for these guys. So let's see. Julian Watson was, you know, they talked about her. And question, is this really a bankruptcy case or a fraud case? It says it's a bankruptcy case for the time being. If the trustee determines that fraudulent conveyances have been made, they can seek to recover those from people who receive them. They can also recommend that the company's petition for bankruptcy relief not be granted, though that is unlikely. There's a very small pool of money to compensate the bankruptcy trustee. No money equals no time to investigate. So there's unlikely to be much scrutiny applied without a shareholder or creditor lawsuit to compel it. There you go. It's Underground Cellars. We interviewed Jeff Shaw, and he was very excited about it. I thought it was a great idea, too, and I looked at the website. I did not purchase anything, you know, full disclosure. I wasn't part of the business thing, but they filed for bankruptcy, and that's it. caught my eye. I thought that was really, really strange and sad too. Okay, so let's get off of that and on to something else here. Climate change. Let's see, where am I? Australian wine. How climate change is endangering Australian wines. We hear about climate change. This is from BBC News. Said that warming. It's a warming and drying trend in Australia. They've been under some severe droughts down there in some wine regions. The South Australia's Riverland region got only 90 millimeters of rain, which is 10 times less than your annual rainfall this last year. And it's only going to get worse in the next 20 years. The Riverland will be about 1.3 degrees hotter, and rainfall will drop even more. Which, what does that mean for wine? Not good. Climate change already messed with the flavors and the quality, and heat affects the speed at which the grapes ripen, and their sugars and acidity levels jump up, and it is causing the wines to change. Wines to taste different. There's just so much that a winemaker can do to try to balance out these things, and it's not good. Growing certain types of wine grapes in Australia, especially those suited for cooler climates like Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, get harder. And if it continues to be as warm as it is, not only will it get harder, it will also become impossible. So they are optimistic, though. Wineries down there in the area say they can make it through. It could be catastrophic if it gets much warmer and much drier, but still they are very optimistic about the possibilities of continuing on. And they said you'll be able to continue to grow, you know, things like Cabernet, but it just might not taste as good in the years to come. So the climate's really affecting Southern Australia a lot more than it's affecting other people because of the influence of the desert, and they're not getting a whole lot of rains and all that down there. I hate hearing that stuff. I really do. Okay, let me see what this is here. Here's the one. This is the webinar that I was telling you about at the beginning of the show. Some of the things they talked about is what is the definition of North American native variety? Are they siblings of vinifera and French hybrid? What is their origin story? Why is T.V. Munson, and the T stands for, I've got it right here, Thomas. Why is Thomas V. Munson a key part of the story of North American natives? What is the TerraVox project, and why were more than 60 varieties planted in Missouri? Which American native varieties show the most promise for winemaking, and what might be the future of winemaking with the North American native grapes? So, good seminar. Again, once I get it, I will post it, and I will also try to get the two guys that spoke on the show Let's see here. I told you Jerry. Jerry's last name is Eisterhold, and the proprietor of Caravox Vineyards. And Clark Smith, one of America's winemaking innovators and consultants. And Stephen Castles is author, educator, consultant, and longtime student of American indigenous grape varieties, who also, was also a presenter. So those are the people on there. Again, a great, great and interesting show. Okay, let's go back to this. And look at this. Oh, geez, look at the time. I just noticed it. Okay. Oh, that's, I can't find that. Wait a minute. Here it is. Here. We'll end with this little article. This is from the drinks business. And it says, research has uncovered the secret behind sparkling wine bubbles. Why the wine bubbles in Chardonnays fizz straight up. They poured samples of carbonated beverages ranging from sparkling water and beer to sparkling wines. And the sparkling wines, both the traditional champagne method and the tank method, like Prosecco. And using a needle, they then pump gas into drinks, experimenting with bubble size and the addition of chemicals that decrease the liquid surface tension, known as surfactants, observing the changes. And it was discovered that it is the surfactants found in sparkling wine that are responsible for its stable single-file bubble change. It's the top. The theory is that in champagne, these containments that act as surfactants are the good stuff. These protein molecules that give flavor and uniqueness to the liquid are what makes the bubbles chains they produce stable. So there you go. Findings are applicable to sparkling wines in general. While beer also has surfactants, its bubbles often don't rise in a straight line. Sparkling wine has no such containment, and therefore there is nothing to guide bubbles through the wake flows of other bubbles, meaning that straight chains are not formed. So researchers also show that bigger bubbles tend to rise more smoothly and form stabler chains, which are going to be going against the received wisdom that finer beads equal better sparkling wines, which, you know, I've heard that too. You know, if the bubbles are smaller and, you know, you get a small beaded line, that's better than the bigger ones. Well, the bigger ones are going to form a better line than the smaller ones. So it's, you know. Most people have never seen an ocean seep or an aeration tank, but most of them have had a soda, a beer, or a glass of wine, they say. But talking about champagne and beer are master plans to make people understand that fluid mechanics is important in their daily lives. So one use cited, though probably not as glamorous as providing trivia for the next champagne reception, is bubble-induced mixing in water treatment aeration tanks. But they found that it is because of the surfactants. Is that sure that I'm pronouncing that wrong? Surfactants, S-U-R-F-A-C-T-A-N-T-S, surfactants. So that's what causes the bubbles to go in a straight line, because of the liquid's surface tension, known as surfactants. There you go. No other reason than that. I wonder if they can control that when they make the champagne. I wonder if there's a way they can control the That's funny that the surface would be the one that would cause the bubbles to go in a straight line, though. Well, maybe it's just, you know, something there that we all just don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, there
you go.
Definitely
can't see. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It just seems strange, you know. But that's what it is. So, Eric, we'll call it a show.
Yeah. All right. We've got, so today's June the 8th. The next show for the 15th will be 7 p.m. as always. So tune in next Thursday, the 15th. And
thank you, anyone that popped into the show, too, on the chat room and stuff like that. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. It popped in there. I said their name. They popped back out of there. So that's fine.
Oh, no. They saw me. And don't forget tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 7 to 9, Mike and Flightline Radio. He'll be entertaining you, taking requests. And I tell you what, I always tune him in and just listen to him in the background while I'm surfing and looking at stuff. But any song, Mike is a genius at that. Say, I would like to hear. And amazingly, he can find things that are so obscure. It always surprises me. So
some of it has been.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it's good, you know, when they do the obscure ones, it's kind of cool that, well, you're kind of opening yourself up to different kind of music that you probably wouldn't have heard anyway, but you know, all of a sudden, oh, here it is, and it's some of it has been good, and some of it has been
not so good.
Yeah.
To be polite,
we don't have anything nice to say. Sometimes it's just best not to say.
Yeah, well, and new age and stuff like that too. I mean, you have been able to find some, and I've heard you pop in some new age in there that it was really pleasant. Surprisingly, I enjoyed it. Yeah, so.
Sorry. Well, thank you. So next Thursday, All About Wine live on 20 different places now, I guess.
Yeah, but, we're all over the place. Yeah.
Definitely on the archives, you can tune in. And we appreciate you for tuning in even on the archives. So just stay with it, and we continue on, and we'll see what's coming up in the near future.
That's right.
Y'all have a great great weekend ahead, and enjoy your summer. Most schools, I think, are out by now.
Talking to the guys and the cigar guys last night, and schools out in Oregon, where one of them lives, like I think next Monday or Tuesday or something like that, next week. And I said, wow, that's late. And he says, yeah, but we don't start until the middle of September. So, you know, some of these, you know, bounce around. So, I don't know.
Well, they have to enjoy the warm weather before their winter, you know, really strikes them. So,
yeah. Oh, that's true. Speaking of the guys last night, too, and I'm sure you all seen pictures of New York City, but fires in Canada are sending smoke south to all sorts of places. New York City had the worst air quality of the world a couple of days ago. I mean, they measured on a scale of 0 to like, what, 50 or 100? And New York City had air quality of 1,035. I mean, it's just like, oh, my God. And Mike in the group that I talked, the Mike and the cigar group, was outside in his car. He called it his mobile lounge to have his cigar, and the smoke it was so thick you could not see a tree across the street. It was so thick there, and he's in New Jersey. And Craig, who lives in Pennsylvania, had the same thick smoke. It was just like you can, he was on his porch and you can look out the back and it was so thick. Unbelievable. And yeah. You know, it's not going to bother the grapes because they're still in early season, but oh my gosh, that smoke is unbelievable. You know, so.
And what kind of health effects is it going to have? You know, breathing constantly,
and you can't get away from it. And you turn on the AC, and it pumps it in your house. I mean, it's just, you know, it's everywhere. They said you step outside, and it smells like somebody's got a great big fireplace burning right in front of you. And you know, it's just that wood burn smell. You know, so it's just amazing. You know, so all right, you mentioned you know. That and it reminded me of that.
And we hope that they are doing okay and their air cleans up. I don't know how that's going to happen, but
I don't know. I haven't seen any reports. I didn't see the evening news, and I usually don't watch the evening news, but you know the weather reports on that. And I don't know what's going on. So yeah, we hope it clears up and everybody's breathing normal and. With no issues or anything. So.
Yeah. Yep. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend and a week ahead. And we'll talk to you next Thursday on All About Wine. Thank you.
Yep. And, be safe. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All About Wine.
Off of there. I think it's still playing. Okay. And to the green room.